God is so good, you just can't tell it all. Amen, amen. You can tell it, but you still can't tell it all. Amen, amen. We greet you this morning in the grace, peace, joy, and God of our Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We come this morning to say good morning to you. Man, it looks like y'all still looking to get that hour back, but I got news for you. It ain't giving back. We're here this morning by the grace of God. And because of that, we need to celebrate and praise Him for His grace and mercy. Our pastor is out today, and so we do have a preacher in the house. Amen? Amen. Our message this morning will come from our missions director, Reverend Chris Johnson. Amen. Amen. So you will hear from him, but I want to share a couple of things with you about Rooted and Grounded. I want to remind you that for the purpose-driven life groups, you will still meet this week, and that'll be your last week. And the cardboards are available, and they should be completed for the Rooted groups this week in your session. So complete them. And if you don't have your cardboard, it's available to be picked up today in the bookstore. And for our Spring Rooted and Grounded, we are still looking for facilitators. If you've taken Rooted and if you've gone through that, you have been commissioned to be a facilitator. So we're looking for you to sign up for the Spring Rooted and Grounded. And that would include the Rooted as well as Purpose-Driven Life. So we're looking for you to sign up and be a major part of what we're doing in the spring. Remember now, when you talk about, when we talk about Rooted and Grounded, that's kind of like that's the discipleship culture, but that's kind of the umbrella. With the discipleship culture, we are looking at the Rooted series. We're looking at Purpose-Driven Life, Experiencing God, and some other courses that we will be adding to it later. But we want to make sure you understand that you start with Rooted, and then you continue on. And this culture means that you take it, and you develop what God wants to do in you through discipleship. So it's just not a program. It's a cultural change for us. And we're going to make sure that everybody that participates in it can make sure that they can sit with someone and disciple them. So we just want you to understand that it has a purpose, and that purpose is to develop you to be a disciple as God has called you to be. So keep that in mind. As you sign up, as you encourage other people to sign up, we want to make sure that as a facilitator, you are the one leading the charge and taking it to the heart. Amen. Amen. So we have shown the video with the cardboards, and I want you to pray for everybody that was on there. Keep them in your prayers, and we're going to be celebrating at the end of this month, and we'll have another cardboard testimony, and I'm looking forward to that as well. So we're going to now hear from the preacher of the hour, our very own missions director, Reverend Brother Chris Johnson. Amen. Hear ye him now.
Amen, everybody. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. First, I'd like to thank our senior pastor and our first lady for allowing me the opportunity to present God's word to you. Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on this place. God, we pray and we ask now that your presence would be here with us, that our minds and our hearts would be open to your word, that it would be planted, that it would germinate and grow in the garden of our life. God, we thank you for watching over and protecting us this past week. We pray now, God, that everything that is said and done is pleasing and honorable in your sight. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. You may not be familiar with her name. If you are a boxing fan, you may have heard of her. The boxer that I'm talking about is a lady named Clarissa Shields. And Clarissa Shields, as my brother just said, is a bad, bad lady. She is known in boxing circles as a pugilist that is second to none. She hails from the town of Flint, Michigan. And as she emerged on the national stage, she was known not only for her punching power, but she was also known for her loud mouth. The BBC did an interview with Clarissa Shields, and they talked with Clarissa about a number of things. First, they talked to her about the water crisis there in Flint, Michigan. Clarissa, even though she was a boxer, became an unlikely spokesperson and advocate for citizens there in Flint, Michigan. They didn't talk to Clarissa Shields about her being a trailblazer in the field of boxing and sports. They talked about her undefeated record and her bravery and her courage, not only calling out fellow female boxers, but also calling out male boxers as well. And as my brother said, if you've never seen this sister box, I mean, she throws a left hook almost like Joe Frazier. But what Clarissa Fields is really remembered for is not how hard she throws a punch. It's not even her advocacy for Flint, Michigan. What Clarissa Shields is really known for is being an advocate for children and for women who have suffered at the hands of sexual abuse. She uses her own story as her life message. She utilizes the platform of boxing to shed light on an issue that has become her life's purpose. The power of a story. Psychologists and neurologists tell us that embedded in our mind, when we hear a story, when we hear a narrative that is compelling, the signals in our mind resonate with that story, and we become more attentive and we become drawn in because the story that's being told has resonated with us. All of you all, as we wind down Rooted and Grounded, as we equip our body of Christ to serve, as we spread the word and the love and the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world, the question that is posed to you today is, are you using the gifts and the talent and the voice that God has given you to share your life message? Because I would argue that it doesn't matter how many messages I preach or Reverend Bell preaches, or even at times Pastor Cofield, the biggest message, the biggest billboard for the gospel, are the very people sitting in these pews today. For a few brief moments, I'd like to speak to you from the thought how God wants to use your life message. How God wants to use your life message. Our scripture on today is found in Romans, the 15th chapter, the second verse. We will also be looking at other selected scriptures, but we're going to use Romans 15:2 as our point of departure for today, because embedded in the text is a message from the Apostle Paul that resonates and even gives life to us today. Starting at the first verse, Paul says this: "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Remember, if you're going to know how God wants to use your life message, you must first remember that God wants to use your testimony so that others can see him through you. God wants to use your testimony so that others can see him through you. As we pick up in chapter 15, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church there in Romans. In the 14th chapter, he has just finished talking to them about issues of conscience. There's been a debate going on in the church about food and about what we ought to eat and what the dietary regimen should have been of the day. And while Paul says that that is a matter of conscience, he also reminds the church that you do not want to judge your fellow believer, nor do you want to hinder your fellow believer because you're having an issue of conscience that they're not. And as Paul walks out of that text, he comes into chapter 15, and as he parks right at chapter 2, he then moves and tells the church that it's not just enough to have issues of conscience, but that if you are truly following Christ, you have to be an imitator of him. And the way that Jesus imitated the Father is the same way we should imitate Jesus. That the words of John 4 rang true, that Jesus' only mission, that Jesus' only purpose was to do the will of the Father. I want you to hear me very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. Your testimony is how people will see God through you. Now, when we talk about testimony, we're not just talking about what you verbally say. We're talking about how you live. We're talking about how you walk. We're talking about how you talk to others. We're even talking about how we think about others when nobody else is around. The Bible in Revelation says that they will be saved by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Do you know when people hear your testimony, when they resonate with your personal story, it gives them hope on a level that they may never have had before? You know, we live in a very whitewashed religious society. And by whitewashed, I'm not alluding to a color or an ethnicity. We live the reimagined life in the Western society without giving any credit to God. We sashay into social circles, into spaces, and we act as if we arrived without the help or without the grace and mercy of God. And then we falsely take credit that belongs to Jesus. Has anybody ever talked to you about Jesus and just the sincerity and the integrity of their testimony moves you to such a point where you felt like you could just accomplish just a piece of what they just said to you? When I first came here to this church, I met a man by the name of Jerry Buggs. He was a brilliant man, but a peculiar man. But he was my friend. Brother Jerry and I developed a relationship, and I would go to his house and I would pick him up. And Brother Jerry had ADA issues. He had diabetes, and so he lost a leg and he was an amputee, and so he would be in a wheelchair. But that didn't stop Brother Jerry. As a matter of fact, it invigorated Brother Jerry. And every Sunday, man, Brother Jerry would call me at 6:30 in the morning and say, "Chris, man, no matter what you do, man, make sure you get me to church. Because I'm 60 years old and I'm not going to spend another day not praising God." This brother shared his life with me. talked to me about the material things that he had gained in life, talked about the professional status that he had attained, talked about pleasures and creature comforts, and how he had a house that was so big he would get lost in it. And at the end of the day, none of it could save his soul. There's an old saying that says, old fools used to be young fools. And sometimes if you just shut up and listen, somebody's testimony will help you avoid some pitfalls that God doesn't even want you to go through. The power of your testimony, the power of your experience with God, the boldness to witness and to call his name so that someone can look at you and say, there is hope. You know, sometimes as ministers, Pastor Bell, we do the people a disservice. You see a person up here, nice suit. Brother can conjugate his verbs. That's good. He can speak eloquently or parse the Greek. That's great too. But nothing advances the kingdom like the people of God taking ownership of their own testimony so that the people who they interact with can see God through them. Do you know your office is your own personal mission field? Do you know your home is your own personal mission field? Do you know that God supernaturally superintends people to come across your path every day strategically so that they can be blessed by a word that God has given you? What are you doing with your testimony? How are you using all of the blessings that God has given you so that you can encourage, so that you can inspire, so that you can equip, so that you can motivate somebody else? There's a treasure in earthen vessels that is hidden. And that treasure seeps through in real relationships and real interactions with people. And it's in the crevices of that God uses the nuances of your character and the nuances of the gospel. And he merges it together so that when a person walks away, what has been planted is a seed of a gospel in the form of an idea. I see myself differently because of the testimony of a believer. I was talking with Brother Dana Thomas at the Forge, and we were talking about ministry, and I was talking to him about our community basketball game, and I was trying to pick his brain about strategies, right? And we were talking, and he said, you know, a lot of this stuff can be built in relationships. One-on-one relationships. God has equipped every believer in here with the ability, with the mental capacity, with the vocabulary, with the power, and more importantly, with the authority to speak boldly and confidently with your testimony. Because when you testify to someone, what you say to them privately, what they don't need to hear publicly, is that everything that I say publicly, I can affirm to you privately. Ain't it reassuring when you know who you're talking to is really who they say they are? And somebody in here, there is somebody in your immediate circumference. There is somebody in your social circle. They look at you and they're just waiting for you to have a God conversation. Because that God conversation may just be the very pivot that saves their life. Remember, we're talking about how God wants to use your life message, how God wants to use your life message. Remember, number one, we said that God will use your testimony so that others will see him through you. God will use your testimony so that others will see him through you. But the second thing is that God will use your life lessons to teach others about lessons in living. God will use your life lessons to teach others about lessons in him. In Psalm 3, the psalmist declared that his loyalty to the word, which he observed with his whole heart, is what would sustain him. When you look at Psalm 3, the psalmist asked that God would give him instruction on daily living. I used to hear my grandmother say that if you keep on living, life will teach you some lessons. But there's nothing like the word, because the psalmist says that the true teacher is not life. The true teacher is God. God uses life to teach us lessons. There are life lessons that God has given people in here. There's life lessons, life experiences that God has given you, that he has blessed you with, that he has equipped you with, so that you can use those life lessons in a conversation with others. You know, God don't waste no hurt. Somebody in here, you may have been a victim of some type of mental or emotional abuse. God don't waste no hurt. Somebody in here, you may have had a prodigal son moment. You may have found yourself in the pig pen of life only to have God restore you. Don't hide that testimony. Share it. Somebody in here, you're going through a divorce, or you have gone through a divorce, and God has now restored you. He has renewed you. He has placed you in a heart. He has healed your heart. Don't hold that testimony in. Share that life lesson with somebody. You know, the only thing worse than a wasted blessing is a wasted life lesson that's not shared. You know, the other week, I was joking with Deacon Alvin Martin, because we were talking about our BC days at the club. And we talked about life lessons that we learned at the club. Not idolizing the club, not lifting up the club, but not fronting like we didn't go to the club either. Life lessons. Because there's some stuff you can learn in Jamaica's parking lot that you ain't gonna learn in the parking lot of the church. There's some stuff you can learn in the juke joint that you just can't learn in the sanctuary. There's some stuff that you can learn on the street corner and in a dope house that you just may not learn in the presence of some seasoned saints. And God takes those life lessons and he cleans them up and he recycles them and he repackages them and he takes them and he illuminates them. And then he reintroduces it into the marketplace through the person and the personality that is you. And then he presents a finished product so that the world can see it's possible for them. Don't we serve an awesome God? See, we want to front to people. Ain't nothing wrong with being broken sometimes. Yeah, I was broken, but I ain't broke no more. Yeah, I was walking, but I got a car now. Yeah, pockets were on flat, but hey, I have a steady paycheck. Ain't about where you were, it's about where you are right now and who got you there. And the trick of the enemy and the trick of the devil and the trick of haters is to constantly try to remind you of a past that no longer should have a hold or a stronghold on you in your life. Funny story, I was in the music business for 13 years, and I ran into a former coworker, and I was talking with him and his wife, and his wife said, I heard you was preaching. I said, well, sister, you heard right. Well, I'm glad somebody picked you up. You know, at first I started to get offended, but then God had to remind me, who better to pick you up than the Lord? Who better to pick you up than Jesus? Who better to dust you off than the Holy Spirit? Who better to reinvigorate you than God himself? So I don't mind being picked up by Jesus, ma'am. Now she's trying to find the same God to pick her up. And we give credence to folk whose opinion really don't even matter. Life lessons. Tribulations. Strongholds. Addictions. All of that God uses so that you can tell somebody else about how life can be a little bit easier with him. Pay it forward. Stop hogging all of this spiritual experience and knowledge that you have. You know, one of the things that I have found out through our legal and social justice ministry, we're working on a voting campaign, and we're trying to talk to young people about voting. And you know what I found out? Everybody thinks that the young people don't want to talk about voting. It's not that they don't want to talk about voting. Nobody's talking to them about voting. They're hungry, thirsty, waiting for somebody to talk to them about some civic engagement. Now let me flip it and bring it on in here. That same desire that they have about voting, would you believe me if I told you so many young people say, I would love to know about God. I just need somebody who can talk to me about God, who knows about him himself. I don't know what senior I'm saying this to. Do not let your head of gray hair stop you from talking to young people. Because in this ever-changing society, in this multi-generational society, folk are looking for people who look like the grandparents they used to hear about. And for what is a issue of conscience for you, because you tripping about your gray hair, is really a signal for somebody else to say, that just might be the person who has the wisdom I need to hear. Because somewhere in the Bible, somewhere in Titus, it says that the older should teach the younger. Remember, we're talking about how God wants to use your life message, how God wants to use your life message. Remember, we said, number one, God wants to use your testimony. Number two, God wants to use your life lessons. But number three, God will use your passions to build his kingdom. God will use your passions to build his kingdom. Ephesians 4 said that some he gave as apostles and prophets and teachers. That out of this loose consortium of people, God tethered together people who had unique gifts and talents so that they could put the body of Christ together. And the same process that happened on the pages of Scripture is the same process that God uses today in each and every one of you. God wants to use your shape. God wants to use your gifts. God wants to use your experiences. God wants to use your intellect. God wants to use your availability. God wants to use your handyman experience. God wants to use your cooking. Whatever your passion is, God wants to use it so that he can build his kingdom. Because he gave you gifts so that you could build up others. And when you build up others, what you ultimately find out is that not only are you building up others, you're allowing God to help you also add to the building of yourself. Amen, everybody. Amen. Okay. Last point. Your life message should always point to Jesus. Your life message should always point to Jesus. One of the lesser known disciples in the Bible is a gentleman by the name of Andrew. Andrew didn't have a lot of scriptures. He wasn't known for a lot of the other miracles that some of the other disciples did. But what he was known for was arguably maybe one of the most significant contributions in the Bible. Upon finding the Messiah, Andrew emphatically ran out and he told Peter, James, and John, "I have found the Messiah." Somebody in here, listen, your only job is just to do one thing. Run, go tell somebody you found the Messiah. Don't let another moment waste without telling somebody about Jesus. Don't waste precious time on frivolous conversations that have no eternal value. Every moment is precious. Be like the woman in the well who found Jesus and went and told her people, "I found somebody who told me everything about my life." There's something about Jesus when he touches you, when he talks to you on your own and tells you about everything in your life that you never shared with anybody else. And when you point somebody to Jesus, not only are you imitating Christ, but you're giving someone one of the biggest, if not the best, expression of love. And it's the love that comes in the person, in the personality, and in the word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen, everybody? Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you for today. God, help us to remember that no experience is wasted. No trial, no tribulation is for happenstance. God, you've equipped every person in this sanctuary with a life message that's rooted in you. God, give them boldness, give them confidence. Allow them to walk in the authority that you've given them. God, remind them that this is no light thing we're in. Psalm 8 says that we are the envy of angels because we can testify to the glory and the goodness of you. God, release someone now. It's in Jesus' name we pray.